Good morning, everybody. Let's see your Bibles this morning. Let's do a little better than that. Let's not lose our fire now. It's word. Amen. Let's see your pens and your bulletins, notes. All right. Let's not get stale. Amen. Okay, we don't want to get old and crusty. Turn to Genesis chapter 32. I was getting ready this morning to come here. I was praying. I wrote my notes. It was God's telling me to write this or whatever, but I wrote down I need to be, and I was excited, but every week, get up in the morning, go to bed Saturday night, excited for church the next day. And when y'all go to bed on Saturday night, hopefully it's not Sunday morning when you go to bed, that you're going to bed excited about what God's going to speak to you the next day, and coming to church expecting Him to speak to you, expecting Him to encourage you. No matter what you're dealing with, God is so big, it doesn't matter what I'm going to talk about. He can talk to you specifically straight into your life, but you have to come ready for that. Amen? Amen. Let's all bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for being good to us. We thank you for your word, your Bible. It's living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. It's able to discern the thoughts and intents of our heart. We pray that your word would discern the thoughts and intents of our heart. Like a two-edged sword would divide our soul and spirit and would reveal to us what we need to see, what we need to know, what we need to do. Thank you, God. Pray for all the people in the lobby and all the people in the Casa Royale who are watching on the screens. I pray that you would grab their attention supernaturally and you would speak to them and encourage them. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we start, we have plenty of seats in the 8:30 service. If you want to come earlier in the 8:30 service and get a seat inside, or if you're a regular and you don't mind, come to the 8:30 service and leave room here for people who come at this service who are visitors, and we appreciate it. I was thinking the other day of all the different kind of sports there are and how much which sport required the most physical training. A lot of the sports we watch on TV regularly are not the top requirements. Football is not. Baseball is way down the list. You know, Holly need to be in shape to play baseball, okay? Basketball is up there, but, you know, baseball and football, which are probably the most televised along with basketball, pretty low on the totem pole, but sports like swimming, got to be in incredible shape. A cyclist, Tour de France, Lance Armstrong, the brothers in shape. Triathlons, don't know any triathlons, but those people are in shape. Some track athletes, depending on the event. There's a young lady here who's training for the Olympics, and she runs the 400-meter hurdles. That race is a monster. Okay, to run 400 meters, sprint is hard enough, but to jump over a little fence every 100 yards is even worse. Or how many feet, I don't know, not 100 yards, but how many they have. Cheerleading, I wrote down? Not. That's a little joke. Soccer. But probably one of the hardest sports is wrestling. Amen. I never had the opportunity to wrestle. We didn't have wrestling in my high school. But I tell you, wrestlers are some tough, pound for pound, some of the toughest athletes on the planet Earth. Now, there's different kind of wrestling. Sumo wrestling. Sumo wrestlers range from 200 to 600 pounds. The 600-pound brother was not even thinking about little Jenny Craig. He was eating Twinkies, trying to gain more weight. Those brothers are just, you know, gigantic. And the object, of course, is to push the guy out of the circle. That's one wrestling. Then you got amateur wrestling. You got mud wrestling. You got Olympic wrestling. Then you got the WWF wrestling. Now, I'm not a WWF fan at all, but the guys in WWF are in shape, great athletes. And about 3 years ago, I was at this event, one of our crusades, and these kids started yelling at me saying I look like The Rock. And whenever someone ever tells you that you look like somebody, you never really do, right? You're always like, and I never heard of The Rock at the time. I was like, who's The Rock? oh, he's a wrestler. And I don't watch that stuff, but I since have watched him. I have since seen him, I should say. And actually, I like him. He's a pretty charismatic, funny guy. He seems like a nice guy. But the WWF had a tournament. I think it's a tournament. This is the right term. called something SmackDown. Okay. And I like that name, SmackDown. So in my house, we have SmackDown time. So I'll just say WWF SmackDown, and my kids, they put everything aside and they get ready because we're going to fight. And we wrestle and fight. I like to have my kids fight each other because, especially my daughters, I like to get my daughters, I try to get them to fight each other, fight my son. And because, you know, make them tough. You know, just, you know, we kind of, you know, like, let's say someone's going to get you, what are you going to do? And then, you know, teach them how to, you know, bah, 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 you know, get out of it. So I try to teach my daughter how to box. And when you box, you know, relatively you're supposed to stand on one, bam, you know, bam, you know, bam, bam, bam. But when she boxes my son, she always beats him. That's why it's funny. And because she's like 80 pounds. She's just like a stick. But she's so tough. And she just fights him. She just throws punches and walks at him. Bam, 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 bam. And he runs around the house. She's just jacking him up. Then she gets him in the corner. She's bam, 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 bam. So it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of entertainment. It's cheaper than cable. But we have what we call press. I mean, we have SmackDown, WWF SmackDown. And what we do, well, what I do is I throw them around the house. Throw them on the couch. It's on the couches, you know. Bam, get them down, you know, kind of give them noogies in the head and in their stomach and their ribs, and, you know, and just it's fun and laugh. And, but when you wrestle, the thing about wrestling, especially amateur wrestling, which is really the real deal, is that if you give up or rest, you lose. If you're not in shape, you lose. If you don't know what you're doing, if you're not trained, I mean, it is, the reason it's so hard is because at the end of wrestling matches, and I've never wrestled, but I can imagine, and I've seen it, that at the end of the match, you have nothing left unless you beat the guy quick. But if the guy is good and you're good and you go to the end, I mean, if you ever see wrestlers in the Olympics or any amateur wrestling, they, you know, the ref has to lift their arm up, whoever wins. They're so tired. And I've seen so many wrestlers in the Olympics win a gold medal and just ball out crying. And I know they're crying because they're happy, but I also know that one of the reasons they're crying is that they have nothing emotionally and physically left because they're so spent. And the title of the message is called The Prayer SmackDown. Because when you pray, you are wrestling with God. You have to see it that way. You can't see prayer as this little nice little speech you're going to give God that's going to convince him to do something for you. That's not praying. Praying is reaching out to God by faith and fighting a spiritual battle because the devil doesn't want you to pray. And you are pleading with God. You are seeking God. You are pursuing God with all your might to express your heart to him and to hear his heart to you. And to beg him to do something on your behalf or for him to alter your prayer that it can match with his will for your life. But it is a battle because, let me tell you something, the most important thing you can do is pray to God. Worship is important, but if you are trying to do something for God or trying to get something from God or trying to become something, you have to communicate and connect with God through prayer. And it is a fight. Your flesh doesn't want you to pray. Your mind doesn't want you to pray. Your pride doesn't want you to pray. In this story we're going to look at, Jacob, everyone say Jacob. Jacob had a twin brother named Esau. And he deceived his brother and stole his brother's blessing from his dad. Changed Esau's whole life. And so Esau and Jacob were separated, had been separated for some time. And Jacob was getting ready to go meet his brother Esau. And he finds out that his brother's coming to meet him with 400 people. And Jacob gets all scared. So Jacob starts sending stuff away in front of him to meet his brother Esau, presents and gifts, to try to get Esau to not be mad at him. And Jacob finds himself all by himself all night long with an angel of the Lord. And they wrestle all night long. It's symbolic of us praying all night long. Now, there's two phases of this wrestling match. It's God wrestling with Jacob and or God wrestling with us because he wants to get something from us. And when God can get from us what he wants to get from us, then we can properly wrestle with him to get what we want. And so what we're going to look at first is what God is trying to wrestle out of Jacob's life. Same thing he's trying to wrestle out of your life and my life. And then we're going to see Jacob, how he wrestles with God. Now, all of us in here got something we want to pray for. 1, 2, 10, 15, 20 things we're praying for. Let me tell you something. I pray that you would apply these principles in your prayer life. Because these principles are the foundation of what we call victorious prayer. We're praying when you, praying to the point where God would show, where God would do something supernatural in your life. First thing you want to know is that God wants you to fight. Write down Luke 18, verse 7 and 8. God wants you to fight. He wants you to wrestle. He wants you to cry out to him. How do we know that? Jesus did it all night. You can look through the Bible all the times Jesus cried out all night. But one particular story I want to highlight to you in Luke chapter 18, it was an old lady, a widow, who went to a judge to get justice, and the widow had no rights. It was like a second-class citizen, and the judge, who did not fear God, said, "Woman, leave me alone. I don't have to give you anything." And she kept bugging him and bugging him. And he said, "Woman, leave me alone." And the unjust judge who didn't fear God said, "Just to avoid you from driving me crazy, I'm going to give you what you want. But just get out of my courtroom." And Jesus, the Bible says that just as that woman begged the unjust judge, so we need to beg God. We need to pursue God. We need to fight the prayer battle with all our might. And if your prayer life is 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, "Oh, dear God, bless me. Oh, thank you, God. Amen." That ain't going to cut it. Now, you may get something from that. You may get a Twinkie, a Milk Dud. But if you want stuff to happen in your life supernatural, stuff that's big time big, stuff that's impossible, what's impossible, man, is possible with God. There's a little cartoon. I just saw it, I think, 2 days ago called Kim Possible. I didn't watch it. I just saw Kim. My daughter's name is Kim, so it's called Kim Possible. So I'm starting to call her Kim Possible, which means with her, if she tries, she could do anything. Well, her and the Lord. So I call her Kim Possible. You know what's impossible with you is him possible with God. You have to believe that. And God says, "That's true. But don't think I'm just going to give it to you because you got on your knees for 2 minutes." He wants you to fight. When we were in Africa, my kids and my wife had all these babies in the orphanage. They were holding these babies for like an hour. We went to leave. The child that my daughter had, she put on the ground, on the floor to leave. She was about 8 months, 9 months old. She could barely stand up. And she grabbed my daughter's legs and started screaming at the top of her lungs, "Don't leave." She didn't say don't leave, but that's what she was saying. She wouldn't let her go. That's what God wants from us. Not, "Oh God, whatever, thank you, oh praise the Lord," and just go about your business. He wants you to fight. He wants you to seek him and pursue him. Okay, let's look in the Bible. Look at verse 1, chapter 32. Jacob went on his way and the angels of God met him. Genesis 32, verse 2. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is the camp of God." And he called the name Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, in the land of Seir, in the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "Speak thus to my lord Esau. Thus your servant Jacob says, I have dwelt in the land of with Laban and stayed there until now. And I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, and male and female servants. And I sent to tell my lord that I may find favor in your sight." Then the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to your brother Esau, and he also is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him." In other words, he says, "Listen, go tell Esau I'm here, I got a bunch of stuff, and everything's cool, right?" So they go, okay. They go to Esau, and they go, "Whoa, brother, man, I got 400 men." They said, "Jacob, you in trouble, because your brother's coming, and he's got 400 men. And look what happens. Verse 7. Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. Pray a smackdown. You know what God wants to wrestle out of your life? Your sense of independence. Your sense of self-confidence. Jacob said, I'm scared. You know when you're scared, you know what you're telling God? God, I finally realized I can't do it. When we were in the in Africa on the safari, we stayed in this tent. And the first night, I woke up in the middle of the night and the light was on. And I looked at my wife like, what's up? I'm not turning that light off. It's dark in here. She turned the light off. It was so dark in that room, I couldn't even see the hand in front of my face. I did like this. And I couldn't see anything. You know, there's stuff creeping around. And, you know, she was like, I want to be able to see. I want to be able to know what's going on. You know what Jacob said? I'm scared. You know what God wants to wrestle out of your life? I ain't scared. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it my own. He wants to humble you. He wants to check your self-confidence. He wants to check your perception of your ability to do everything on your own. Your confidence needs to be in him. And he says, look what he says. He says, Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that were with him and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two companies. Verse 8, and he says, if Esau comes to one company and attacks it, then the other company, which is left, will escape. Then verse 9, Jacob said, O God, my father, God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you. Look what he says in verse 10. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies of all the truth which you have shown me. For I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies. God wants to wrestle out of you your pride. In other words, God wants to get you to stop saying, I'm worthy. I deserve it. This is mine. I should have that. Jealousy, I should have that better than them. Envy, I deserve it more than them. I deserve these clothes. I deserve my money. I deserve my promotion. I deserve my house. I deserve my car or cars. It's all mine. He wants to take that out of your mouth. You don't deserve anything. You don't deserve anything. I deserve a man. I deserve a woman. You don't deserve nothing. God, life is not fair. You might think in your mind, well, if it was fair, I should have this, 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 this. God's not fair. God is not fair. He's righteous. What does that mean? That he gives you more than you deserve. If God was fair, you would have to pay for your own sin. Jesus wouldn't have to die for your sin. That wasn't fair. Why would Jesus have to die for sin he didn't commit? That's not fair. That's righteous. So everything you have is because of God's grace. Well, I work for it. He gave you the opportunity and the ability to work for it. Well, I studied. He gave you the ability to think. He put you in an environment where you could even go to school. You know what? When we were in Africa, they had the elections December 27th. I arrived the 30th. Some people arrived before the 27th. And they had two main candidates. One candidate was going to revolutionize the country, and the other candidate was going to be a continuation of crookedness. If he won, there would have been riots, and it would have been a mess. It just so happened the good guy won. It just so happened they had the inauguration right outside our hotel. Literally, I sat in my room and watched it. 500,000 to a million people right outside the window. And you know why they were happy? One of the reasons why was because he is going to let little kids go to school for free. They don't have free education. So all these kids that are walking around the street sniffing glue, they can't go to school because they have no money. Now, you and I take that for granted. But guess what? It's not normal. It's not everywhere that you have the opportunity to go to school. And even your opportunity and your ability to think and study and read and comprehend information is a blessing from God. God wants to wrestle that out of your heart, the pride to think, I deserve this. This is mine. When you go home today and you flip on your TV and you look at your TV, listen to the radio, read the newspaper, thank God for that. My street, I live on a cul-de-sac with 19 homes, and we've been having burglaries. Every other night, guy comes and tries to break in the house. He hasn't gotten successfully got anything yet, but he's tried to get in my house. He's tried to get in when I was in Africa, tried to get in the house across the street, rocks through windows, all this stuff. So the street hired a little security guard. He's sitting out there and watching, and the guy comes. 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, so we're hunting this dude down. And we're in a meeting the other day, and we had the police, we had the council person from the community at our street, they just squeaky wheel, calling up every day, got the councilman to come to the neighbor's house, we're all in there. And so we're trying to figure out getting the cameras, we want to get helicopters, we want to get CNI, you know, sniffing dogs. And I'm like, y'all, this is going to go away. It's not going to be a big deal. But the thing is that not really a lot has happened, even though no one's gotten hurt, and not a lot has gotten stolen. So we go through all this stuff. I say, hey, let me, before we all go home, you know, he's been talking like an engineer. He's been talking like, you know, I'm an engineer. I'm going to put the cameras up. I'm a politician. I'm going to get the politicians here. I'm a pastor. And so what I would like to do is talk like a pastor and pray, because we really don't know how we're going to do this, do we? I mean, we're at the mercy of the crook, because the police just told you they can't do it. The councilman told you, I mean, we got to pray to God. So let's pray to God and, one, thank God that we're all safe and pray that he protect us. You know, all right, we'll pray. But you know what? God, we want to thank you. We want to thank you that no one's gotten hurt yet. We want to thank you that you've been protecting us. Jacob, dear Lord, I'm not worthy. Think God can get you to say that? Think God can get you to believe that? Next one. Look at verse 12. Jacob says, for you said, I will surely treat you and make your descendants as the sand of the sea. For you said, everyone say you said, God wants to wrestle out of your mouth his blessing and his promises and not your boasting. In other words, God wants you to say, Lord, you said this. Lord, if it's your will, your word says, versus saying, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I think. Here's what I would say. Here's my plan. No, God, your plan. Everything's according to your plan. Your will be done, not my will be done. He wants to wrestle that out of your mouth. And so many of our lives are, God, here's what I want to do. Can you hook me up? God, here's what I want. Can you give it to me? God, what's taking you so long? Blah, 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 blah. Instead of saying, Lord, I want to do what you want to do. Now, when God can get you in a place where you can say, Lord, I'm not worthy. God, it's according to your will. God, I can't do it on my own. When God can get you to that place, now you can wrestle with God. Now you can expect him to bless you and honor your prayers and listen to your prayers. Now look at what happened. Look at what he said. Look at verse 22. Because here's what smackdown praying is all about. Smackdown. Verse 22. He arose that night and took his wives, his two female servants, his 11 sons, crossed over the ford of the Jabbok, and he took them, sent them over the brook, and sent them before him, what he had. And in verse 24, then Jacob was left all by himself, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day, all night long. Jacob was all by himself. You know how much God would love to get you to all by yourself. Just you and him. No TV, no radio, no stress, no problems. Nobody else. My wife and daughter out of town. I was left home with my other two kids. First thing they're like, you know, what are we going to eat, Dad? My response was, what can you make? Sitting on the couch last night. I said to my daughter, come sit right here, right next to me. It's just me and you now. I want you all to myself right now. We're going to sit here. God wants you all to himself, all alone. You know, the Bible says he's prayed all night. You ever pray all night? You ever pray for an hour, 2 hours? You ever pray till your knees hurt, your forehead got rug burns on it because your head's on the floor? You ever pray till your forehead is so wrinkled because you've been frowning for 2 hours? You ever pray when you're perspiring, sweating? You ever? If you haven't, then guess what? You won't get all-night prayer blessings. One of the things I always wanted to do is catch a big fish. I don't think I ever caught a fish bigger than this, about 6 inches, like about 3 ounces. I want to catch a fish like this, for hours. I remember when as a kid, I used to watch not Wild World of Sports. It was American Sportsman, I think it was. A show a long time ago. Was that the name of the show? And they would go deep sea fishing, and they would for hours, and this big marlin be jumping out the water. Moby Dick be jumping out, big old. I want to do that. The only way I can do that is to go out to deep water. You got to go way out. You want to catch a big fish from God? You better go out to deep water in your prayer life. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. What does that mean? That you are in constant contact with the Lord. Can you think of one situation in your life where you don't need to talk to God about? You're going to buy a car, and a car salesman who's gifted at selling cars is gifted at getting you to make the deal and then add on the add-ons at the end? Don't you think you need God? Someone asked you out. They may look like what you want, but they may not be what you want. Don't you think you need to know God? When Adam and Eve, God was going to hook Adam up. Remember that? He said, I need a woman. He said, sit on that rock. I'm going to bring all the animals to you. And the Bible says he named every animal, but he didn't name any wife. He knew. He knew. And a whole bunch of people are going to come in your life. Don't you need to think you need to know God? Is this the one? God, is this the one? They may look at business deal, educational options, where you're going to live. God. Constantly, you need to be listening to God. You need to be talking to God. And guess what? What God has to say to you is a whole lot more valuable and important than what you have to say to him. So if you find yourself rambling, God will listen to you, but you're wasting your time. Spend your time listening to God. He wrestled all night. Look what it says in verse 24. He was left alone, and the man wrestled with him until daybreak. Number two, look at verse 24 and 25. You must wrestle through hard times. Jacob was left alone, and the man wrestled with him until daybreak. Now, when the angel saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of his joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go until the day breaks. But he would not let him go. You know what he did? He dislocated his hip. Now, if you ever had a joint in your body dislocated, it's not fun. But your hip, imagine your leg being over here. Well, wherever it went. I don't know where it went. Up, down, back, around. But it wasn't in the place it was supposed to be. So now his hip is all like this. You know how painful that is? And when you're praying and seeking God and serving God day in and day out, a lot of times things don't go your way. You get frustrated. You get impatient. You're hurting. You're depressed, discouraged. Your money's drying out. And the tendency is to say, okay, God, I'm going to put you on hold. I got to go fix this. Wrong. You got to keep praying. Because you know what he says? Look what he says in verse 25. Verse 26. He says, let me go. And he says, but I will not let you go till you bless me. You know what he says? Even though I'm hurting, even though this prayer thing ain't going good right now, I'm going to still pray. The Bible says in Hosea chapter 12, verse 4, that Jacob prayed and cried when he prayed with the angel. The Bible tells in 2 Corinthians 12 that when you are weak, that's when you are strong. When God's got you down, and when God's got you in a place where your self-confidence and your abilities are submitted to his, that's when you're strong. But it's when you're doing it on your own, that's when you're weak. When it's me, 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 me. Look at the next one. Look at verse 26. He said, let me go, the angel said. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. What? Do you even know what you're praying for? In other words, how many of you pray like this? Dear God, please bless me, bless me. What does that mean? What is it that you really want? Oh, dear God, I want a man that looks like this. Boom, 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 boom. Is that really what you want? Or do you just want to be happy? I want to make $1 million. Do you really want $1 million, or you just want to be at peace with your life? Because $1 million may not do it. Dear God, I want to be used in ministry. Well, in what ministry? What are your gifts? Be specific. You know what he says? No matter what you do to me, angel, no matter how much pain I'm in, I am not going to let you go until you answer my prayer. You know what God's telling us? Get it from God. Don't be one of these people come to church, oh, God didn't answer my prayer today. I'll just go about my business. I'll just do it my way. No, 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 no. Seek God. God's not your rabbit, lucky rabbit's foot. He's not your genie in a bottle. He's got to jump when you say jump. He wants you to seek him. Because you know why? Because in the process of you finding him, it may take you a month. It may take you 2 months. In that process, he is refining your soul, renewing your mind, changing your heart. And in that process of however long it takes for you to pursue him, he's going to alter your heart. The Bible says he's going to give you the desires of your heart. What does that mean? He's going to change your heart's desires to be like his. And his desires are better than your desires. I would love to ride a motorcycle. And I watched those guys. I was watching a guy yesterday. I was going around a curve on the this bridge. And the cars were merging and we were driving. And he just went around everybody. Wow. And I was like, man, it looks like fun. But you know what God says? If you ever got a motorcycle, you would die. I'm never going to get a motorcycle. But I sure would like to. I saw a dude the other day riding by my house, or a street near my house, going about 60 on one wheel. Whoa! And I was like, man, that looks like fun. I was in a Denny's in Indiana, like 4 a.m. We were driving from somewhere to somewhere. I don't know where it was. And these kids were in there, and this kid came in, and he had a motorcycle right outside the window. Little rocket. And for some reason, he sat down and started talking to us. I don't know how it happened, but it's probably because I asked him. And we were talking about, he says he was a Christian. We were talking about riding on the front tire. You ever see motorcycles riding the front tire? What they do is they drive, and then they put the front brake on, pop the bike up forward, and then let the brake go and let it roll. It's crazy, but it looks like fun. You may have desires like that, and God's going, no, no, no. I can't answer that prayer for your own good. In the process of you holding on, in the process of you begging him, in the process of you pursuing him, he's changing your heart, changing your mind. And so many times we pray, and before God can start doing his magic, before God could do his supernatural work in your life, it's not magic, it's supernatural work. Before he can do that in your life, you let go. You stop. And he goes, oh, man, I almost did it. The angel was almost there. You know that? And when angels come to assist you, there's demons fighting them. And we stop praying, and then they get sent back. There's a spiritual battle that's so intense, so involved, we don't even know about it. And we just have to seek God and not let go of God. Look what it says in verse 26. This you should memorize this. I will not let you go till you bless me. And let me tell you something. This year, y'all should have things in your life that you want to happen so bad. And you say, God, I'm praying for this every day. I'm praying for this every day. I want you to show it to me. I want you to show me how to do it. I want you to do it in my life. And many times, the supernatural things of God won't be fulfilled in your life because you give up praying too quick. Bottom line. I remember when I was dating my wife, I was not saved. We would break up, get back together, break up, get back together, break up, 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 break up. Matter of fact, when I met her, I asked her for her phone number. She said, no, I'm not giving it to you. I said, well, how am I going to see you? She says, you'll figure it out. What? She was saying, even though she didn't have to say this, if you want to know me bad enough,
you will figure it out and you will find me. I was like, it's on. It's on. God says, listen, if you want it bad enough, you'll get it. Don't let go. If you want God, if you want me bad enough, if you knock, I'll open. If you seek, you'll find. But seeking is seeking. It's not looking. It's not a peek. It's a seek. One day we thought someone kidnapped my daughter. We couldn't find her. And it was from our house, and it was about a 5-minute period, which seemed like a day, that we did not know where she was. And there was nobody around. She was real little. We were home. We lived on the end of a cul-de-sac. There was nowhere she could have gone except someone took her. And I remember looking everywhere in that 5 minutes. It was about 15 minutes. It was horrible. I looked in the sewer storm drains. I looked under grass blades. I looked everywhere for her. God says, I want you to seek me like that. We found her, obviously. God, I want you to seek me like that, and I don't want you to stop seeking me until you find me. I couldn't give up after 10 minutes, 15 minutes. I mean, when do you ever give up? Ever. You seek until you find. The next one, prayer smackdown. It's based on faith. Look what he says in verse 26. The angel says, let me go. It's getting daylight. He says, no, I will not let you go. You know what he says? Even when your flesh doesn't want to pray anymore, your impatience doesn't want to pray anymore, you're frustrated, your faith has to keep praying. You have to keep praying. You have to keep seeking God. There are some impossible things God wants to do in your life, some impossible things in your mind you keep thinking about. And you keep hearing this little voice saying, give up, give up, give up, give up. Go do something else. But you have to keep praying and hold on. You know, the angel couldn't leave him because his faith said, no, I'm not letting you go. And they prayed all night. And the last one is the best one. Well, I'm sorry, there's two more. One, look at verse 31. Smackdown prayer will leave a permanent scar on your life. It says, just as he crossed over the Peniel, the sun arose on him, and he limped on his hip. For the rest of his life, because of his prayer life, he walked like this. Or if he was cool, he just walked a little like that. I don't know. Depending on how, depending on how he incorporated that into his walk. But he had a permanent limp. Has God ever done something permanent in your life because of your prayer? Do any of you have little knots on your knees or permanent ash on your knees? Even Nivea won't get it out. Do any of you have, if you ever, when you watch football games today, if you want to interview a football player, if you look closely, you'll see a dark spot on a lot of the ball players' foreheads. If you look closely, it's from the helmet being on the head for so many years. If you look closely, you'll see on some of them. But that's because of the helmet every day. What has God done in your life that you can show somebody it's because of your prayer life? Is it your relationships, your marriage, your church you go to, your ministry you have? What is it? Is it something you can say, you know what, the only reason that's there is because of prayer? What is it? I have kidney stones. And the guy told me, you have these stones because you were probably dehydrated. I think it was when I went on a 4-day fast, my opinion. And when they finally passed, and I'm in pain, I'm going to say, God, this is all your fault. But you know what? That's a good reason. I'll be able to accept it then. Easier. The last one, and this is the deepest one. Verse 27. God wants to wrestle out of you the truth. When you pray, don't be praying to God with a deceitful heart. Don't be praying to God lying. What does that mean? Oh, dear God, you know I didn't mean to get drunk last night. Yes, you did. I didn't mean to cheat on my wife. It just happened. That stuff just don't happen. I didn't mean to cheat on my income taxes. I just wrote the wrong number by accident. God's not stupid. Remember when we were, some of y'all have kids and some of y'all are kids of children. You don't have any children. You try to lie to your parents. They're not stupid. We're not stupid. We know. And if I know that my kids are lying to me or trying to lie to me, how much more God knows? And look what God says to Jacob. Verse 27. He said, Jacob, what is your name? Now, why did he ask him that? One, the last time someone asked Jacob's name, Jacob lied. The reason his brother Esau is after him, at least he thinks, is because Jacob cooked a meal for his dad that Esau was supposed to cook and then get blessed. So when Jacob cooked the meal and brought it to his dad said, who are you? He's blind. He said, I'm Esau. But really, he was Jacob. He lied. Got the blessing, and that's why Esau's after him, or at least that's why he thought. So he said, Jacob, come on now. What's your name? Remember last time you got asked that question? Oh, man, you know about that, huh? Oh, yeah. When you get on your knees tonight, God's going to want to know. You're going to be praying about all this stuff you want. God's going to say, hey, how's your relationship with your mom? Your dad. What's that stuff under your mattress? What did you watch last night on the internet? You're talking about this. God's over here talking about this. Let's deal with this first. Let's deal with your sin first. Then we can talk about this stuff. So it says, Jacob, let's be truthful here. Mano y mano. Tell me the truth. Why'd you lie to your wife yesterday?
Well, I really didn't lie. You know, I just told her this, but it was really half.
No, you lied. He said, Jacob, today y'all got to be truthful with God. Do you really trust him with your life? Do you really pray? Do you really believe prayer works? Are you really seeking him with your whole heart? Or are you playing games? How many of y'all in your heart of hearts just come to church because it's Sunday? And you come every now and then. God's like, what are you going to get for that? Not a lot. God has so much more he wants to give you. And you know what? You might have been hearing me say that for months and years and pastors say that, and you might say, well, it's not true. It's not true because you haven't sought God with your whole heart. Seek God with your whole heart. He wants to know, who are you really? Are you really my child or not? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know what name they had Nebuchadnezzar gave them? Servants of the Most High. Mary, highly favored one of the Lord. Ruth, virtuous woman. Moses, Elijah, Elisha, man of God. M-O-G. Imagine that, your name, man of God. Imagine if people saw you in the street. What's up, man of God? Ooh. I was speaking at a school in Philadelphia, and this girl, she called me preacher man. I was like, yeah, I like that. Preacher man. That's a preacher man. What's your name? Jimmy, John. What's that? That don't mean anything. Miles. Man, what does that mean? Distance. Means nothing. If I go to Europe, they're going to call me kilometers. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that joke, and I was like so tired of hearing it. I figured I'd use it for once.
Oh, if they call you kilometers, like, ha, 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 yeah.
You know how people say funny stuff, and they think they're like the original? What would you like your name to be to God? Faithful, obedient. What would you like someone to write on your tombstone when you die as it pertains to God? What would God write? She trusted me. He believed me. He walked by faith. He prayed without ceasing. Or, oh yeah, I think I saw him in church one day. Oh yeah, they thought the pastor was going to do everything for him. They put blame on everybody else. Mm-mm. Dear Lord, I want to be the smackdown, brother. I wouldn't let go. I wouldn't let go. And the thing, when I was in college, I had a coach. He was a 5'6". I don't think he ever played anything. He was one of those little guys that just, And all leading up to my being drafted, he was telling all my friends why I was too short, too slow, never would make it. It's one of my coaches. He didn't coach me, but he was one of the coaches. There's always people like that in your life. And I never confronted them. But I kept hearing it. And every time I heard it, it made me more and more determined. I was like, yeah, keep talking. There are people in your life that will be saying that stuff all the time, no matter what it is you want to do. And if you don't believe that, it's in the Bible. The devil's name is an accuser of the brethren. So when you get on your knees and say, oh, dear God, the devil's like, oh, did you see what they were doing last night, Lord? Come on, you can't believe that prayer. Let me tell you what they were thinking yesterday. Let me tell you how they looked at that girl, looked at that guy. Let me tell you all the stuff they read. Come on, God. I know they go to church, but come on. How many people who say they go to the Rock were at the club last night? Oh, I see people out. Not at the club, because I'm not at the club, but you know. Oh, how you doing? Oh, how you doing? I'll be at church. I am planning my nightclub tour. I am planning a nightclub tour. And there will be people at clubs dancing, acting all crazy, drunk out their minds, scamming on women. And they're going to hear my voice. This is Pastor Miles. Before we get into the midnight love. If you're from the Rock, it's time to go home. I cannot wait. And you know what's going to happen? Someone's going to come up to me. And they're going to be busted. And they're going to figure out, how do I tell them I was there without telling them I was there? I say, hey, I heard you, Pastor. I said, yeah, what were you doing there? I'm going to be standing by the front door and people are going to walk out and go, In a minute, we're going to pray. And some of y'all today need to say, Lord, you know what? I've been running from you. I let go. I want to grab you again. I want to hold on. You want to be saved. You got issues you want to give God. You want to recommit your commitment. Your commitment. I mean, think about it. And I know everybody's not, some people are more laid back than others. But there's got to be something in your life for all of us that we really, really, really want. And some people get, you know, hyped up about it. They get excited about it. They get real competitive. And some people are like, you know, I'm just going to get it. They're more laid back, but still in your heart, there's like an engine running. I want it. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? God wants you to have that for him. He wants you to have that for him. He wants you to have that for what he has for you. He wants that. So when we pray, I'm going to ask if for whatever reason, we want salvation, you just want to be recommitted to him, fired up, you want to walk away from the junk. You ever have people around you, or you're talking to somebody, or you're in a situation, and it's just like you start going, get off me, I got to get out of here. You ever feel that way? Just, you're driving behind somebody, you're trying to get somewhere, and they're driving 3 miles an hour. You just, You just want to do that to your whole life. And you want to say, God, I want to start over fresh. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, today, in the midst of our pain, our frustration, in the midst of our disappointment, in the midst of our sin, our failures, in the midst of our emptiness, we want to grab you today and hold on. Right now, as I'm praying, as the music's playing, just get up out of your seat and come down to the altar. If for whatever reason you want to be saved today, you want to recommit your life to Jesus today, you want to him to turn up a flame in your heart that's fire from heaven, just get up out of your seat. Come down to the altar. God bless you. Good. Just eyes closed, heads bowed. Lord, call people out of their seat right now. I pray they walk away from their old life, walk away from junk, from vain imaginations, from jealousy, envy, depression, addiction. Lord, I pray that they would have faith to walk away from stuff they don't think they could walk away from. I pray that they walk away from things that they think are impossible to get rid of. I pray people here who are doing fine with you would just come up here because they want to do better. They want more than what they got. Elisha told Elijah, I want double what you got. Whatever you got, I want double. He probably didn't know what that meant, just know it was going to be better than what he had. There's got to be people here that want better than what they got. There's got to be people in here who want impossibleness in their life. They want him possibleness in their life. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for being a prayer answerer. I thank you so much, Jesus Christ, for being faithful to your word. Lord, I want to brag about you, talk trash about you. We talk trash about different football, baseball teams, athletes, celebrities, business people. All that's going to die. It's going to burn. But you and your word and your promises and your faithfulness last forever. It was there before time. It's going to be there after time stops. Lord, today, there's got to be somebody. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth, looking to show himself strong on behalf of somebody that's loyal, somebody that won't let go. It won't let go. Walk away from yesterday and walk into tomorrow with faithfulness. Trust. Anybody else, get up out of your seat right now. Come on down here. Christians that have been Christians 10, 20 years, take it to another level. Take your relationship to another level. Ask God to do even beyond what you even asked for. Ephesians 3:20 says he can do exceedingly abundantly more than you can ask or imagine. So whatever you've imagined, he's like, man, I got more than that. Ask me for more. Ask me for more. Trust me for more. Believe in me for more. Please. My love is unsearchable. My power is limitless. My presence is everywhere. My boundary doesn't exist. I know everything, see everything, hear everything, smell, taste, and feel everything. However big you can think, I'm bigger. However strong you can imagine, I'm stronger. However smart you can conceive in your mind, I'm smarter. That's God. Our mind adds and subtracts. God does calculus 20. We can't even comprehend it. Lord, we thank you. Lord, I pray these people here at the altar. I pray that they would not let go until you bless them. And then when you bless them, they would ask for more. And Lord, that's not selfish. It's biblical. A blessing is simply God's favor. We don't want man's favor and we don't want our own favor. We want you. Lord, I pray they seek you with their whole heart and that they would find you with their whole heart. And they would understand, yes, God is real. Lord, I want to acknowledge your faithfulness in my personal life, that even though I'm a pastor, I'm a man, I'm human, I have to pray like everybody else. I have to trust like everybody else. I have to dream, study, read like everybody else. I have to obey just like everybody else. And Lord, I thank you that you're faithful to that. I thank you that you put dreams in my heart that you're fulfilling right before my eyes. I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that the same promise you gave to me is no different from the promise you've given to everybody else. No different, not one bit. Lord, your eyes running all over this earth and right now all over this room in the lobby in Casa Real. Please, if you stand up, come on in here. Just walk over here. into this room. Walk up to this altar. There's many up here waiting for you. Lord, I pray that those people would trust you and they would leave here today saying, I'm going to hold on to God. I'm going to grab him. I'm not going to let him go ever, ever, ever. I'm going to. And with the same enthusiasm, I work out. With the same enthusiasm, I rollerblade down by the bay, go surfing, go skiing, or whatever things we all do. With that same enthusiasm times five, I'm going to seek God. Some of us study with our whole might. We like books. We like reading and research. With that same enthusiasm that people go out and make money and trade stocks and sell and buy real estate, with that same enthusiasm times five, I'm going to seek God. I'm going to let God do my business. I'm going to let God bless my finances, bless my relationships, bless my home, protect my home, bless my mind, bless my health. I'm going to let God do that. I'm just going to focus on obeying him, seeking him, finding him, listening, hearing his voice. Don't go to bed without hearing God speak to you. Don't get off your knees in the morning without hearing God tell you something. Get in the habit all day of hearing God and letting him tell you something. The Bible says, if you call to me, he says, I will tell you great and mighty things you don't know. Listen, if you call to me, I'm going to tell you stuff you haven't heard. I'm not going to tell you what your friend told you. I'm going to tell you stuff you have never heard. And guess what? I got so much information, I can tell you stuff you never heard every day because you ain't that smart compared to me. Lord, bless these people. And Lord, I pray all of us this week. There's a lot going on in this town with the Super Bowl. Lord, I pray we remember who we represent. Not the Buccaneers, not the Eagles, the Raiders, or the Titans. We don't need to remember the Titans. We need to remember Jesus. That's who we represent. And Lord, as the mother told a little kid when they were at the mall and the little kid was screaming, said, that's not how you were trained. Don't act that way. Lord, let's remember how we were trained. Use us this week. Bless these people who are here. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. All y'all who are down here, we're going to ask, y'all have to go that way. Y'all have to go that way. Y'all, seek God this week. Amen. Trust God this week. Have to go that way. Thank you very much. God bless you. God bless you. Have a good night. Good morning. Good day. See you next week. Super Bowl or not, we'll be here.